And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Two massive injuries in Edmonton. What now for fantasy owners? Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 23, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
No Leon, no Connor, but we do have Alberga, Hahn, Meany, Bender, Jensen, a cast of characters on the show for today, Nick. And as always, this episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Tell you something, characters is right, but you see those two big injuries in Edmonton. Imagine being a fantasy owner right now of McDavid and Drysdale. This is put up or shut up time. You lose your best player and a guy who's top five in the fantasy world right now.
Well, there's two sides to it, right? There's the McDavid and Drysdale owners that are just feeling it right now. There's obviously no replacing players like that in fantasy hockey. And then there's the other side to it, Nick, where maybe you catch the break and you're facing the Drysdale or McDavid owner as well. So there's always two sides to these types of conversations. My question to you, I guess we briefly saw it over the weekend, but the Edmonton Oilers without those guys. I mean, we've seen versions of the Oilers without McDavid, versions of the Oilers without Drysdale. The other one tends to step up, but versions of the Oilers without both of them. Do you have faith that this team can still find some sort of value this week without either of those guys?
Honestly, I think to a degree, because I actually respect the depth of the Edmonton Oilers, and I think we saw it over the weekend. They're going to have to play more of a run-and-gun style. I think still, and you'd probably agree, goaltending, I wonder about this team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but I think offensively, the one guy to pick apart right now is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Did you notice he has three 3-point games in the last four? And this is exactly what they need right now, considering these injuries, right?
I didn't notice because I kind of forgot he was still on the Edmonton Oilers this year. Remember that 100-point season from the Nuge? That feels like a distant memory now. But hey, good for him. Someone's got to step up, right? No one on this roster is the quality of McDavid and Drysdale, but there are some other solid players, and everybody's getting a boost, a little more power play time, some more minutes. So I think a team that you could probably try to attack, right, with those guys on the shelf. Okay, maybe we can activate an Arvidsson. We've seen Skinner kind of get going, a couple of the guys that came over from the offseason. I still don't trust where the goaltending's at, though, Nick. Stu Skinner has not been good for a while now, basically all of 2025. Cal Pickard's been okay as a backup, so if you have either goaltender in fantasy, I don't love where they're at going into this week.
Any excuse to give my boy Adam Henrique a shout-out, I'm going to do it. He's playing in the top six right now. He scored on the weekend, but yeah, a much different-looking top six. You got Podkolzin, Nugent-Hopkins, Arvidsson, Perry, Henrique, and Hyman. Just look at that.
seems to be missing something. I don't know. There's something missing there in Edmonton. So again, there's no replacing those guys. And I said it already off the top. Like, we've seen different versions of this Oilers team where one guy's out, other guy steps up. This is something totally different, right? With both of those guys not available. And really, there's nothing you can do. If you're a McDavid, Drysdale owner, we're going to get to waiver wire pickups with Pete. So you do your best. You try to manage the waiver wire, see if you can find some value, but you're never going to replace any guy like that.
Tons of options. And yes, Pete Jensen's been warming up for opening days in the bullpen. He's lathering up. He's good to go. He's got the rosin. We're going to give you some hits in a second here. Some guys I would look at: Jonathan Huberdeau's been on fire for Calgary. Alexi Protas with Washington. Nick Schmaltz with Utah. So Elias Pettersson gets banged up, which is the story of his season, Jake. And who knows how long, if he'll miss some time here. But the fact that he was starting to cook a bit, and now he goes down for the Canucks.
Well, speaking of Calgary and Huberdeau, by the way, how about Matt Coronato? Guy scores every game, apparently, all of a sudden. So maybe take a look at him this week. But what a season for EP40 and for JT Miller on that side too, right? Watching them go head-to-head over the weekend, I think all eyes were on both of them if they were ever on the ice together to see if anything would really happen. I didn't expect anything major to happen there. But just it feels like neither player can play well at the same time. Nick, you remember when JT Miller first got to the Rangers? Instant success. Oh, Rangers are turning it around. Then he hits the cooler, but all of a sudden EP40's going in Vancouver. And maybe he's actually the one getting the boost from all this. So it feels like neither guy's played well at the same time. And then just as EP40's kind of starting to figure it out and fantasy owners are thinking, yeah, I'm glad I hung on to this guy, now he gets hurt. So it's just a frustrating season for anyone owning Elias Pettersson and Elias Pettersson himself.
Jake, don't tell that to Pew Suter. Quietest 20 goals in the league this year. He's playing in the top six now. Can I interest you in that?
He is a guy I've actually streamed in deep leagues a couple times, because we're always, like, in a 16-team league, you're always looking for that greasy, that you're looking for the pew suitor. That's exactly the type of player you got to pick up to try to get through your week and find some value. So I actually do sneaky like him if given that kind of opportunity. Connor Garland's another one, probably hasn't really been killing it right now, but might be lurking on some waiver wires out there you could take a look at.
Me and Peter Jensen went to the NHL store and we got matching pew suitor jerseys, everyone. We can't wait to wear them together on the next episode. Right, Petey? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. He looks great in the pew suitor jersey. Peter, can you confirm? Just say yes.
I can't confirm that, but I have confirmed thinking of changing my nickname to Pew Jensen. So we'll see. The big thing is here, guys. It doesn't matter what your name is. If you're playing in the top six, if someone's injured in front of you during the final 2-3 weeks of the fantasy season, you're worth dabbling in.
And that's been the story, guys. I streamed Taylor Hall on Sunday. My goodness, he gets a hattie. Mark Jankowski, I've joked about him since the trade deadline, just scores and scores and scores. So great news for the Canes. So maybe Petey goes back to the store and he gets a Thatcher Demko jersey, guys, because there's rumors on Sunday, Jake, we could see a surprise return of Thatcher Demko for the Vancouver Canucks. How about that?
That would be interesting. And a guy that I don't know if people gave up on him, maybe sent him to the wire, or, you know, obviously if you hung on to him, you're activating him. These are important games for Vancouver down the stretch, trying to lock down that playoff spot as well. Nick, it sounds like your Sunday stream went much better than mine, picking up a Taylor Hall hattie. That's real nice. I saw him get picked up in a lot of leagues on Sunday. So he probably won people a lot of fantasy leagues, really, with that performance. That's something to push you over the edge. I chose to go with Eric Comrie, thinking, well, there's no way Buffalo goes into Winnipeg and beats the Jets, right? James Reimer's winning games still and stacking the pads. I'm like, what is going on? So, hey, I guess the clear option was to pick up James Reimer. Who knew? I went with Eric Comrie instead, Nick. Obviously did not work out.
We have Chris Meany coming on for the On the Money segment later on. It is the worst time or most confusing time to bet on the NHL. Like, the buffer zone between the trade deadline and 10 games remaining in the season, I stay clear. I'll be honest about it. We're going to go back into that well, maybe starting next week, but Means is coming up on the show. And lastly, I want to talk about the Hurdle injury. Gets banged up. I know Pete put this out there. 20 goals since January 12th. We talk about last year's trade deadline. Tomas Hertl has been incredible for the Vegas Golden Knights. But Sean Monahan, this is a big one.
Yeah.
It's one I have circled on my calendar here, guys, on Monday night. Columbus at the Islanders. Sounds like good. Branson could be back, too, for the Jackets here.
Huge game for the playoff race. All of a sudden, the cockroaches, the New York Islanders, are back in the conversation. They do this every year, Nick. It's actually starting to frustrate me a little bit. Like, just go away. And then, you know, producer Phil Constantino's trying to pump their tires a little bit. And then they somehow find their way back into the race. Obviously, we know Columbus is kind of fizzled a little bit, so they need a win in that game as well. Maybe we could get into a couple betting angles with Meany coming up in On the Money. But Sean Monahan, activate him, get him back into your lineup. I don't know what this means for some of the other complementary pieces there, Nick. I actually think it might boost some of these guys. And again, we've talked about how Columbus maybe isn't playing their best hockey over the last couple weeks, so this is a great time for them to get a guy like Sean Monahan back, who is having an excellent season before he got hurt.
Unbelievable year, 41 games, 14 goals, 27 assists. He's been out since January 12th. We talk about the necessity of this one for both squads. Columbus has dropped 6 in a row. The Islanders on a 5-game point streak. And by the way, I got a pretty interesting question, and I saw it in a couple of my leagues, but would you drop Marchenko right now? Pointless 5 in a row, 8 of the last 10, Jake.
I think it would depend on league size and what else is going on in your waiver wire. But if there's an enticing option, and we're going to get into some waiver options coming up here shortly, if there's a couple enticing options with 4 games, this is the time of the year, Nick, where I have no problem dropping a guy like that who's kind of middle of the pack. Like, what are you hanging on to, right? It's most likely your semifinal or close to it this week. So if he's not going for you, you feel like there's a better week coming up, I'd absolutely entertain an idea like that.
Not even a mailbag edition, and Skip's just delivering for us, so shout out to Skip. So week 23, Jake, March 24th to 30th, 53 games in total. You got 4 on Monday, 10 Tuesday, 4 Wednesday, 10 on Thursday, 6 on Friday, 11 Saturday, 8 on Sunday. The 4-game teams you want to attack this week for schedule manipulation purposes: Buffalo, Dallas, Detroit, LA, Minnesota, Montreal, the Devils, the Islanders, Ottawa, Toronto, Utah, and Vancouver. That's 12 teams, the 2-game teams, Boston and Florida. Jake, you want to stay away from those two teams.
I think LA and Vancouver have some injury. We talked a little bit about the Canucks, obviously, with the Elias Pettersson injury, maybe some opportunity there. I did mention Connor Garland. LA is also a team. We saw them put up, what, a 7 spot on Sunday, and everybody kind of getting in on the action. I think that middle six in LA is very interesting to me. Guys like Warren Fogel, Trevor Moore. LA tends to roll 4 lines, Nick, right? So they spread things out. All these guys tend to get a nice amount of minutes, you know, maybe less power play time than the big boys. The Kings are a team I'm really looking at with the 4-game week that maybe we could find a couple guys there.
Yeah, not to mention what they did on Sunday, a 7-2 win against Boston. All I'm going to say, unrelated, just let them go. Let them go. I want to see Swayman go. I want to see Kemper go. We didn't see that, unfortunately, as you bring in Pete Jensen. Week 23, waiver wire edition. Most playoffs, I think, in head-to-head getting underway here, Pete, but I like the fact you have Sean Monahan on your list this week.
Absolutely, and I think you have to start looking at him. And we got a fan question about this bright and early this morning. I thought it was a great one. Would you rather have Fantilli, who's been in the cooler lately, unfortunately, or Logan Cooley for Utah, who's playing on the top line with Schmaltz, another guy on our list, and Clayton Keller, who's been one of the best fantasy players in the league this season? Because Monahan is back, I would definitely rank Monahan ahead of his teammate Adam Fantilli for the rest of the fantasy season.
Nick Schmaltz is a really interesting file to me, Pete. He's on your list this week. I've found him vastly underowned all season long. A guy that's just locked into a top role there. Maybe not necessarily a volume shooter, and it, you know, can be a little bit more of an assist guy, but there's a lot to like with the Nick Schmaltz file.
Definitely. He has 16 points, 4 on the power play in his past 14 games. Go back and roll the tapes. Probably last year, the year before that, and the year before that, when he was playing for the Coyotes, he's always on one of these fantasy playoff shows because he's always about 20-30% rostered, and he's always delivering for you down the stretch of the season. Always a second half player, you know, just kind of rinse, repeat, and pick up Nick Schmaltz as a part of your roster. Utah's hanging around in the playoff race. They're a good home team when they're playing there. I know they have some road games coming up. Their season is on the line, so Nick Schmaltz should rise to the occasion here.
And guys, it's always fitting. I mean, it's muck and grind season when you win in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's no different for this for the fantasy playoffs at that. You're going to the depths of anywhere to get value. And right now we're going back to Denver and Jonathan Drouin, right?
We are. I like their new lines. They got McKinnon with Nichushkin, and they have Drouin up there. And I think that Drouin has been close to a point per game player all season long. His skating speed is up there, his offensive zone time percentage. We've talked about him on this show at different points this season when he's been healthy. And again, Colorado to me is looking super deep. When I look back to that 2022 championship team, this forward group might be even deeper, guys, and the defense might even be more complete than it was back then, and the goalie tandem might be better. I know they're still a little leaky at times, but for fantasy potency down the stretch, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody better out there.
I love seeing this guy on your list, Pete. I thought he should have been a part of Team Sweden at Four Nations. Will Eklund with the San Jose Sharks. Everybody is loving on Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, these great young players, and they should be in San Jose. But how about some love for Will Eklund? He's just quietly been one of the better Sharks players all season long.
How about this? Since January 1st, the rookie scoring leaders, Lane Hudson, number 1, number 2, Macklin Celebrini, and number 3, his line mate, Will Smith. So I really like that line. And then the third wheel on that rookie line is William Eklund, like we said. He's already up to career highs in assists and points this season, playing on that top line, productive of late, covering some categories. He's another guy with a hard shot, and he just logs a ton of ice time, even when they're giving up goals on the other end. Hopefully your league doesn't count plus minus down the stretch, but I like their schedule as well with the weekend back-to-back at home against the Rangers, who are suspect, and then Sunday night at LA. That seems like a game that could tilt many fantasy matchups this week with some garbage time for San Jose.
Oh, yeah. It's always those Sunday games that get you, and you're watching and you're tailing, you're seeing what happens. And I love those under 5% rostered guys. And I could safely say this is the first time probably we'll talk about Zach Bolduc on this podcast. But he's playing with Robert Thomas and Jake Neighbors, and he's been sneaky hot. So have the Blues. What is it, 6 in a row now for St. Louis?
That team is crazy. I mean, we'll give ourselves some credit here. We were all over them last week. We talked about them 3 or 4 times in 2 episodes. So, and all these different names are surfacing, right? Falk had a great week, Broberg, and of course, Bolduc, who's now not only on the first power play for St. Louis, he's also on the top line I've seen time there of late with Thomas and Neighbors. So, yeah, you like with their schedule. They're playing Nashville again. I mean, it's crazy. They've already played Nashville twice last week. They also have a home game against Montreal on Tuesday. Lineup lock city for the St. Louis Blues. They look like the playoff team to beat in the West and a team that could put a scare in a team like Winnipeg in the playoffs, I think.
You guys killed it with these deep, low-owned players on the fantasy list on last Monday's show, Pete. And one that really jumps out to me on your list this week, I already mentioned him earlier in the episode, Matt Coronato on Calgary. Apparently, he just scores every game at this point. He's locked into that first power play. So he looks like a guy that could really be a sneaky ad in fantasy right now.
Right. Matt Coronato's playing with Huberdeau not only on the first power play, but also at even strength. Mid-range shots on goal leaders for the season, mid-range goal leaders in the NHL among forwards, which is really impressive. Relative no name, you know, where you're talking about casual fans out there. Another one, Simone Holmstrom. I know Meany was talking up the Islanders' schedule this week. You love to see when a team plays on Monday when not many other teams are. And then he's also playing on the top line. The Islanders are doing some weird things. They're trying everything right now. Holmstrom has some untapped potentials playing on the top line. And they're also rolling two defensemen set on their first power play with Dobson, who's back from injury, and Tony D. So a little bit of flair there late in the season.
Petey, how about the blue line every week? And you talk about Justin Falk. That was my pickup of the week last week where he just ripped it up. He was on fire. Any other blue liners you like?
So I mentioned Broberg. I mentioned D'Angelo. I mentioned how deep Colorado is. Sam Malinsky, if you're in a really deep league, he's only 1% rostered. So you can tap into the Avalanche that way. You could also tap into the Winnipeg Jets with Dylan Sandberg, 18% rostered, covering hits, covering block. Sprinkle of points. He's got 21 plus minutes per game this season, and I think that with Winnipeg and their success rate in most of the season, I know that was a blip on Sunday, but I would expect them to take care of business with this upcoming schedule, especially when they play the Devils and Vancouver later in the week.
Lastly, Petey, everybody needs help with goaltending at this time of the year. It's so crucial to try to win those categories, and you're probably going to have to find something on the wire if you're not getting it from the top guys. And there's someone in St. Louis that's making an impact right now, not named Jordan Binnington.
Right, and he might get a start. They don't have any back-to-backs this week, unfortunately, but keep an eye on it. You know, he might get a start. They have three games this week, Montreal, Nashville, and Colorado. Probably wouldn't roll him at Colorado if it comes to that, so wait and see on that. But yeah, 14-7-3 is Joel Hofer, the backup of Jordan Binnington with the Blues. And there's also Jake Allen. He's been kind of going toe-to-toe with Jacob Markstrom, who maybe isn't fully healthy for the Devils. So, you know, give an eye to Jake Allen as well. And then I just think that, like, yeah, down the stretch, don't be afraid to pick up a guy. As long as he's starting on a Saturday or Sunday, look for that green check mark on Yahoo and make sure he's confirmed, and then roll the dice any way you can.
NHL.com/fantasy for the entire list, and I can't believe we're less than a month away from the Stanley Cup playoffs, but first, we've got to decide our fantasy playoffs. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca as you bring in Chris Meany. Means, I mentioned it earlier on. I don't know if you have the same field. Betting right now in the NHL is very difficult this time of year. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Nick. I think, you know, especially over the next couple of weeks, we see some teams that are already out of it. You know, how much ice time is a guy like, for example, Tage Thompson going to get over the next couple of weeks? Or the Sabres, their mindset is probably, let's get a top pick. So that's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, listening to you guys here over the start of the podcast, you know, Pete said something about players getting promotions. And I think that's the way to get edges. Like Holmstrom, again, I'll bring him back up. You know, playing on the top line with the Islanders, playing on the first power play, minus 125 for a point against the Blue Jackets is a team that's allowed 4-plus goals and 4 of 6. So there are certainly edges and spots, but I think the prop game is the way to go, Nick.
Guys, we have a new favorite for the Hart Trophy this week, and it is injury-related. Obviously, this guy is having an excellent season, and you can't really argue him being the favorite, but Connor Hellebuyck has now shifted on Bet365 to a minus 200 favorite to win the Hart Trophy. Leon Draisaitl slipped to about plus 350 with Nathan MacKinnon at those same odds. So do you think that's justified? Means, I know Leon's already missed, what, a week, and looks like he's going to miss another week here. Is that enough to just say, oh, sorry, Leon, you can't win the award now?
I think so, yeah. We've been talking about this for weeks and weeks, guys, right? The Winnipeg Jets have been the best team in the league, essentially, with Washington since the start of the season. So Connor Hellebuck has been amazing for them. He was great for them last year, didn't get love in that department, did win the Vezina. But yeah, absolutely, I think he should be the favorite. And you look at teams, too, and I think when we had this conversation a few weeks ago at the time, Mikko Rantanen was having a great season, but he was with Nathan MacKinnon. Then you have Cale Makar, you have Leon Draisaitl having a great season, Connor McDavid also on that team. I don't want to take anything away from the top line of Winnipeg, and Connor and Scheifele have been awesome this year, but Connor Hellebuck deserves to be the favorite, and I think we'll see him win the MVP, and that'll be the first time since Carey Price, and just the third goalie since I believe 2000 to win the Hart Trophy. So it's really nice to see.
It's funny, as you guys know, I was in Nashville over the weekend. Shout out to my boy Johnny V from Jersey, but I met him out there. He's a big college baseball guy. He's on Bet365. He's like, buddy, he's like, I don't really watch hockey. I got Drysdale futures here. And he's trying to talk me into a narrative where Drysdale wins it because he saw the numbers change, and it's dicey now. And I'm curious, like, if Drysdale misses 2, 3, 4 weeks here, he's cooked. He's done. He's finished. And it's Hellebuck's to win, no?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because he's going to miss some time. He's had a great season, but he's not going to be... Well, we're speculating. But if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you know, you're going to make the playoffs. You've been to this... You went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. You lost in Game 7. You lost by a goal. You need to have a healthy Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid down the stretch of the season, and the Kings are rolling. You guys talk about LA. Not only did they score 7 goals Sunday, they scored 7 goals in back-to-back games. I think they have wins in 8 of 11, so it looks like they're close to catching the Oilers and within reach of winning the division against Vegas as well. So, yeah, if you're Edmonton, you want to be cautious over the next couple weeks. It stinks for fantasy owners. You're not going to have two of the top three players in fantasy, but if you're Edmonton, it's all about the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm trying to decipher already – maybe sniff out some first-round upsets. And the St. Louis Blues, a team we talked about, how much belief do you have in them means?
Oh, yeah, I'm buying. Yeah, absolutely. And okay. Pete mentioned we talked about them last week. And, you know, it really goes back to Jim Montgomery. And how about Dylan Holloway talking about the Oilers? And, yeah, they have some depth, but this guy's got 50 points in 50 games under Montgomery. The Blues are third in goals scored per game since January 1st. They're first in points percentage since the Four Nations faceoff. They're getting good goaltending. They're actually going back and forth between Binnington and Hofer. So I expect Hofer to get two of the three starts this week for the Blues. And a lot of their players are just playing really good hockey at the moment and not really missing a beat with Colton Pareko, who I thought was great for Team Canada in the Four Nations faceoff as well. So I am buying. And as much as we've talked about Hellebuck, Jake, he needs to prove that he can win in big game scenarios. He didn't prove that last year. Unfortunately, he lost that championship game against Team Canada. So St. Louis is playing the best hockey at the moment. And these are the teams that are the most scary that get in, you know, in the final week of the season because they've been playing playoff hockey for weeks.
I think my upset, potential upset in the first round, we obviously don't know the matchups yet, and not quite as juicy as Nick's call of a possible wildcard team, but the Kings over the Oilers in that potential, I don't know, it's fourth or fifth time that we've seen it in a row now. I think they're ready to actually do it, guys, the way that Edmonton's playing right now. This is not injury-related. Leon and Connor should be back for the playoffs, so it's not about that, but I just think the Kings have been playing much better hockey than the Oilers lately. I like their form possibly going in. Another awards, I think this Bet365 has a really interesting odd up on the Calder Trophy. So we know what the general odds are for it, but they actually have a Macklin Celebrini versus the Field Meanie. So instead of taking Lane Hudson, say, at +100, you can actually take the Field at -105, so almost the same odds, and you get Dustin Wolf as well. I don't think Michkov's going to factor in anymore at this point, but I don't mind that. If you don't think Celebrini's going to win it, -105, you get both guys. I think that those are pretty good odds over at Bet365.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good angle, Jake. I know we talked about this a couple times as well. I think it's a two-man race. I think that Wolf should get more respect. He's not, you know, certainly not in the betting market. And if the Flames do find a way to get into the playoffs, then sure. But we all seem to like the St. Louis Blues here as a squad that is going to get in. So Calgary falls short. And unfortunately, I think that Dustin Wolf will fall short as well. So I still think it's Lane Hudson's award to lose. I know what Celebrini's doing as an 18-year-old kid is phenomenal. But the fact that Lane Hudson has has this Canadiens team in a playoff spot. They're well above their projected point total that Vegas gave them at the start of the season. They're fifth in points percentage since December 17th. That's a span of over 3 months. It's a large and healthy sample size, Nick. So I would go take the plus money with Hudson, but certainly Wolf deserves more credit than he's getting.
Been a machine, been an absolute machine for the Calgary Flames. Love that play, love that story. A couple things I'm looking at this week. We talked about the Blues, Montreal Blues coming up Tuesday. I like the over, five straight overs between the Blues and the Habs. So I'm going to stick with that trend. I like a Scott Laughton anytime goal against the Philadelphia Flyers coming up on Tuesday. And we got Quinn against Luke. It's the Devils hosting the Vancouver Canucks on Monday night. I like both guys to pick up a point, both brothers to pick up a point. What are you looking at, Means?
Yeah, Luke Hughes has been playing pretty good. And this guy, if you have him on your fantasy hockey squad, you hope that he can, you know, the Devils got a good schedule this week, right, with the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you have him, consider him. I'll stick with that game. I know Jake's been talking a lot about Nico Hischier and Timo Meier, right? These guys are playing really good hockey at the moment. Nico Hischier's got a six-game point streak, 7 points over that span, 3-plus shots in 3 of 4. And Timo Meier has points in 4 of 6. And 3-plus shots in 5 of 6. You can get them at Bet365, both of them to hit the score sheet at plus 110. And a sneaky goal scorer and a sneaky pickup this week. Hopefully it works out just as well as Ryan Hartman last week. Cody Glass. He's got 2 goals and 6 points in 7 games with the Devils. He's playing with Jesper Brad, who has 11 points in his past 6 games. So take a look at him. And then, Jake, a big hockey game tonight between the Islanders and the Blue Jackets. Boone Jenner, plus 160 for 3 shots. He has 13 in his past 3. He's going to play on that second line, looks like, with Adam Fantilli and Kent Johnson. Mentioned Holmstrom as well. I'd consider the under, right? Jake, you brought this up last week. Two teams fighting, maybe tight checking. You look at this Blue Jackets team, they've struggled offensively. Certainly can welcome back Monahan here tonight with open arms, but that's a very important game for both teams, and I expect both teams to lean on their top players in this matchup.
And that's the game I'm looking at tonight, Meany, for a little same game parlay over at Bet365. Throw a few props together, and then you get yourself that 30% boost as well. I like Fantilli for a point. Even with Monahan coming back, I think he factors in. You get nice odds with a Fantilli point. Werenski, 3 shots on goal. He has just been firing from the back end really all season. Anders Lee, a couple shots. Hey, maybe we juice it up even a little bit more. We throw Boone Jenner in there, Meany. So what do you think about that, Alberga?
I love it. Absolutely spicy stuff for you guys today. Breaking news coming in from Bet365. Every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. So boys, we'll tie a bow in this puppy producer body.
It's never ordinary, and that's how you close out a sponsor. That is how a professional host does it. It's an open, it's a close, it's never ordinary. Thank you, Nick, for coming back. Appreciate it. We'll get into your Nashville hijinks another time. I know you love running around and following those Maple Leafs all over the world.
Yeah,
we'll
everywhere.
Have to do a separate. Yeah, we'll have to do a little separate commentary on that. But thank you, fellas, for getting on a Monday. Appreciate
all
it.
Over Broadway. Pete Jensen, final talk to you.
So I like a lot of goals in this Red Wings Utah game. You could actually find a same game parlay on Bet365. Raymond, Cooley, and DeBrincat to each have a point is plus 300. I think that's pretty likely to happen.
Yeah.
I also like the three-way overtime.
Ooh.
Columbus and Islanders. The Islanders have played two straight overtime games, and 3 of their past 5 have gone past regulation. So take a look at that.
Okay. Producer Bobby with the sound effects there. Appreciate that. But great call, Speak, guys. Great job today. Coming up on Thursday, week 23. Mailbag edition, and again, I'm contractually obligated to promote these two podcasts right here. Energy Line with Nate and JSB, Wild GM Bill Guerin on this week, and NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demers, and of course, the big guest is escaping me right now. Who is the producer, Bob Bender?
And we have a studio chat where all this information is flowing. Seth Jones on with Demers and Virk this week. Seth Jones, okay, recently traded from Chicago to Florida. Oh, it was a fantastic spot, Nick. You'd never be able to get him on the Toronto Maple Leaf show. Yeah.
My apologies. Yeah. My screen was minimized there. I couldn't see it, but excellent stuff. Looking forward to those two interviews right there. That's producer Bob Bender for Jay Con, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.